folks. We're not going to come on here and just talk about Kenny Mayne. We are Debate Amongst Friends. Doc and Prof here, coming at you live. Doc, Aaron Rodgers trolled the football world last night, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Just shows the lexicon of dependency to get that hot story.
You know, I feel like this is a season of trolling, as we've gotten Aaron, we've gotten basketball bust Kwame Brown out here, and he's trolling everybody. I mean, he's not leaving any prisoners. But that's not why we're here today, boyo. You know what Tuesday is. It's gloomy outside. It looks like it's going to rain. It's very, shall we say, dark out.
I see what you did there.
So that means it must be time for Dark Side of the Ring, Episode 3, The Unlikely Rise of Nick Gage, the king of American hardcore and a death match icon. Wow. I mean, first of all, I've never heard of this guy.
I was going to say that. I didn't think you knew who Nick Gage was.
Of course, you see, I would associate this with, you know, obviously backyard wrestling. That's pretty much what it is and what it was. And obviously, last season we talked about New Jack and mass transit incident. Yes, RIP to New Jack, who did just recently pass away. But this particular episode had so much blood shed everywhere. It was kind of like, why would you put yourself through this?
Why would you do this?
Like, if JR was there, it's like, don't do this, by God. That man has a family, was a wrestling promotion.
Well, that wrestling promotion was, I don't give a about your family.
Oh, my God. And our wrestlers. but the leader of the MDK gang, Nick Gage, I mean, my goodness. I don't even know where to start, boy.
I mean, I guess we should talk about how the wrestling world needed, air quotes, a successor to ECW. Because, of course, them being bought out by WWE, which, of course, happened years before the invasion stuff happened. And if y'all don't know about that story, y'all should definitely check out. There's a whole bunch of different sources that you can go to talk about the downfall of ECW. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's a DVD about that, but we're not talking about that. So there were some promotions that's trying to, you know, catch that lightning in the bottle, like ECW had to bring that hardcore wrestling, because, I mean, yeah, WWE kind of had that, but it wasn't to the same level. And now here comes Nick Gage, a man who, and he admitted this during this whole thing, he fed off the crowd.
Right. And he used that a few times, yeah.
And every single time the crowd is like hyping him up, bro.
Oh, goodness.
He always felt like he had to up the ante.
And I feel like there was no ante.
A John Moxley sighting during the show, and he was talking about the pizza cutter, which came back a few times on the episode as well.
Right.
And this dude would legitimately slice you up.
Slice your face, yeah. Which we'll definitely get to. Let's start from his humble upbringings in our great state of New Jersey. where, you know, obviously he talks about his mom and, you know, her being the love of his life and things like that, how sweet she was, and how him and his brother both got into wrestling at the same time due to the fact that, hey, they just love to fight.
Yep.
Fighting was their thing, which is completely fine. I'm okay with people using what they like to do as a profession. So instead of just going around and beating innocent people up, they join wrestling. I am completely okay with this. Some people choose boxing, some people choose MMA, they chose wrestling.
Although don't call me a romantic to say I'm pretty sure he had some inspiration from the first Rocky movie as well.
Clearly.
Okay.
So you get to wrestling. Obviously, you have this, like you said, this promotion, Game Changer Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Gage and his brother join. And, I mean, they're taking hardcore. Can we talk about the light bulbs? Like, out of all things, I know they come pretty easy. Yeah. You know, they're probably cheap, but
very cheap.
Light bulbs in the ring, all around the ring, fluorescent. Yes. Then you have, of course, the legendary thumbtacks. Obviously, you have the legendary barbed wire. Mm-hmm. I didn't see too many tables, but I'm sure they're out there.
There's some tables out there. Yeah.
Which is crazy because, you know, tables, you know, ladders and chairs, I'm sure it's probably introduced somewhere from that. And then, of course, barbed wire comes over, you know, with your legends. But, wow. So we get to this point where he's going against a guy from Germany, I believe his name was Thumbtack Jack. Yeah, Thumbtack Charlie, Thumbtack something with thumbtacks.
And
I'm thinking that this guy, it was Thumbtack Jack. I'm thinking that this guy may have even had thumbtacks like in his head while he was like wrestling. I think that was his whole gimmick. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is really, really insane. You know, for a guy to be sitting there, and I believe in the match right before he throw, or right either right before or right after he throws Nick Gage into this wall of light bulbs,
mm-hmm.
I believe he pulled a freaking thumbtack out of his skull, yes. And like threw it, and I'm just like, yeah, this is nuts. But so this is how I get introduced to Nick Gage. He gets thrown through these bulbs. A freaking bulb pierces.
This is way Doc got introduced to Nick Gage. He's seeing this guy about to fly into this wall. Oh, he hears, now I know you're wondering how I got to the situation.
How I got here. So, I mean, you see the freaking bulbs shatter everywhere. And then, you know, they freak out because there's a freaking light bulb sticking out of his right side under his underarm. And I'm like, blood is just gushing everywhere. And then he dies. They tell him that he dies in the helicopter.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there
we should have prefaced this episode saying there's a lot of graphic commentary. I mean,
it's going to be explicit. I mean, I'm going to list it as explicit. But, I mean, he dies in the helicopter, bro. Like, that's nuts. And he's like, get it on camera. You know, I want to make sure everybody knows that I would have gone back out there and finished. And I'm just like, no. You just died in the helicopter. So you would have like walked back out there and died heading to the ring. Like you wouldn't even made it back to the ring.
Again, that's mentality back then versus now.
Like, I mean, that should just be mentality, period. I mean, you're dying out there. You know, like come on.
This is not a misery.
True. That's true. So we move on. Clearly, the head of the promotion is sitting there, you know, I think they start talking about how not only Nick Gage, but a lot of the wrestlers dealt with pain.
Yep.
So obviously he's popping pills, they're doing heroin, they're doing all kinds of drugs and alcohol. And it's like, they don't have any, you know, anything else. It's just like, this is it.
Yep.
There's no money coming in. So somewhere along the line, we get to robbing banks. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, all right, so the guy's a wrestler. He's in GCW, you know, and he goes to the first bank, he chickens out, he said, and he goes to the second bank and robs it. And this is the part that I found hilarious, and I had to bust out laughing because John Moxley, the best line I've ever heard John Moxley say in his entire career, he says, you know, whenever I see Nick Gage coming to the ring, he always has a mask on, but he decides to rob a bank without a mask.
Yep.
And I was like, that is the best line I've ever heard from John Moxley. So I was laughing about that, and it was so funny. So the guy goes to Atlantic City, spends the money, and then comes back, gets a freaking Whopper and a 40.
Yep.
Smokes some joints, and then goes to turn himself in. Like, what the heck? Well, what is this?
Hey, he wanted to enjoy his last moments of freedom.
So he goes to jail for 4 years, obviously, we know. And gets out for 4.5 years, goes back to GCW, which is taken off. I mean, obviously it's grown since he's been away.
Of course.
And then he gets busted on a parole violation using someone else's urine. And I think there was some other kind of device that he was using. He goes back to jail for 2 years, comes back, and he's back, right? So somewhere in there, his brother, who kind of turned on him years before, Justice Payne, I guess because of all the drug use and everything, his brother, they were distant. He gets into some trouble, and I think they were saying that they reversed, you know, kind of reversed situations. You know, obviously Nick was clean, and his brother, I guess at that time, wasn't clean, and he winds up jumping or driving off of a bridge.
Yes.
The Walt Whitman Bridge.
Yep. Which, of course, you don't know Lynx, New Jersey
to right.
Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So here we are. Now, you know, Nick Gage is back and currently is the GCW world champion, his second reign, where I believe he beat John Moxley. Is that correct?
No, but John Moxley made an appearance after he
played. Gotcha.
That's what
it was. Okay. Which is great. I know that helps not only GCW, but AEW. Maybe one day AEW might want to, you know, take a pinky toe and dip it into the hardcore waters. I don't know if they want to go that route.
To do that with a few things. Of course, the whole, you know, death match, the botch at the end, the side. But...
yeah, then that's no good. But obviously, if they really want to do it, they'll do it.
Of course.
But looking at the whole production, it was a great story. Like I said, I had never heard of them, but it's a great story. Kind of reminds me of the old school backyard wrestling documentaries that we used to see all the time. But this time, it's a company, an established company, who really grew on the literally on the blood, sweat, and tears of others. What were your thoughts when you first saw this? Because you knew them.
Yes, yes.
So you're giving a different perspective.
I totally forgot about the robbery situation. I will tell you that.
The bank robbery?
Yes. So I did forget about that. I did remember about his brother dying because that was like huge news within all the dirt sheets and whatnot around the time.
Gotcha.
Here's the thing that I really, really enjoyed. There's one thing I really, really enjoyed, one thing I didn't enjoy. So the thing I really, really, really enjoy was the fact that it gotten as much content in about this guy's story. Like, there really wasn't a whole lot. I mean, outside of stuff that, of course, you know, no one actually knows about, but like
sure.
A lot of the stuff that, you know, I was brought to attention about with this story, like, was actually talked about during this whole thing. So that was great.
Okay.
I think the only thing I didn't like about this was how they try to wrap it up in a nice little bow at the end.
Well, because, I mean, all right. So the one thing I would say is that I'm happy that they wrapped it that way. Only reason I'm happy that they wrapped that way is because in many situations like this, when you look and see people who've done drugs, I mean, obviously people don't usually rob banks and live to tell about it, but you see people who've done drugs, you want that. Only reason you want that feel good story at the end is because most wrestlers in his situation would have indeed died already from a drug overdose or a heart attack or something, which, you know, God forbid, doesn't happen to him within the next 5 to 10 years due to the amount of drugs that he's done. I don't know, of course, but that's why I think you have to give that feel good, because it's not the same bloodbath. From what I know, I don't watch it, of course, so I'm hoping that it's not the same bloodbath that it once was. But needless to say, the feel good part is the fact that he's still alive. I mean, that's the feel good part. So I guess the one thing that we did not touch on, which is intentional, I wanted to save it for the very end of this story, because neither one of us said it.
Yep, go for it.
And that's the former WCW champion of the world, David Arquette.
Which I don't think people give him as much credit as he deserves. Like,
I don't think so either.
Like, he has been on a pilgrimage to redeem because of what happened. Because completely crappy situation that he was brought upon. It was something that he initially didn't even agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for a while, the wrestling world absolutely despised him for it.
Sure.
Now, I wouldn't have taken the match with Nick Gage at all. That's like taking a match with New Jack. Like,
right. I mean, I really wouldn't take a match with anybody, any of those hardcore legends. It's hardcore. I mean, it's like, I mean, yeah, it's one match. And of course he said, hey, don't cut me, but it's like,
well, he didn't say don't cut me. He's like, you know, don't like cut
me. Slice me up.
Yes, like slice
me. Yeah, don't slice me open. Yes. Yeah. And then, I mean, he took that pizza cutter and he said, eat slices, you know.
It was that, and then the broken.
Oh yeah,
the broken light to the neck.
Well, now that was because he moved. You know, I mean, it's kind of like a barbershop. It's like a barbershop thing. It's like, hey, I'm moving. I'm a Nikki. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a tough one. But I mean, he definitely was a trooper. I love the TMZ spot afterwards, where it's like, so how's that wrestling match yesterday? He was like, interesting, but he lived to talk, you know, he lived to tell, and, you know, it was a little nick on the neck, thank God.
I mean, if you think about it, like, he at the moment, like, he's like, oh my gosh, like, my artery just got cut.
I'm dying. And this guy who I told not to cut me just cut me, you know. But wow, what an interesting show. Like I said, these Dark Side of the Ring, all these documentaries, which we're going to try to get to once a week on Tuesday, because they're really good. Giving us that, some of that insight, you know, that I didn't know. Yeah, just a small peek, which we didn't get at that time, because of kayfabe, especially a lot of the older wrestlers. So I will definitely be covering those, but anything else that we missed? Boy, I don't even think so. It was such a good episode,
really
full
was.
Of little nuggets that I had no idea. But yeah, really, really good stuff. But you know what? I think that's a good time for us to tell everybody, hey, I know you're listening to this on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure, if you cannot find it, which I highly doubt you won't, but you can always go to our website at www.debateamongstfriends.com. Be sure to tune in every day, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for all of our episodes. And tomorrow, we will have more playoff game reviews. Should be a bunch of game twos in the books. Looking forward to it. And I definitely wanted to give a big prayer, actually, for Greg Olsen's son. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look at the article, but I think his son's in critical condition. Mm-hmm. the article, which I really wish these newscasters would do a better job, it just said that his son's time is running out.
Yeah, that's like,
and I'm just like, you know, come on, like, you can come up with something better than that. But something may be going on with his son's heart, so definitely want to pray for him out there. And we will catch you all tomorrow. Be sure to tune in to the Beat Amongst Friends for the analysis, news, and the read.